Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless. 22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
1, 2, 3.
Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Here on Herb Talk, it's all about empowerment. That's what we like to do. Thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network. Magical Engineer Frank and I are ready to go. And we're going to be talking about how you can protect your pets from venomous bites. Okay. So I know the furry pets are part of the family and you may, not know what to do. So we're going to give you some powerful options there, and we do have other stuff and a quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, a big salute and semper fi to righteous men and women in uniform. I'm lifting this nation up in prayer. I'm hitting the knees and I'm seeking Lord's face. Hope you are too. And today's devotional puts us in 1 Corinthians 13. It says, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. And sometimes we've got to remind ourselves of that, especially in difficult times, thinking of others and lifting them up in prayer. And so I think if you seek the Lord's face, mind the time it grows short, that is the way. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Okay, first up in the quacker, it looks like visitors are flocking to Yellowstone. National Park has reopened after the coronavirus pandemic. A lot of visitors aren't wearing face masks, and they may not be observing that social distancing. Yellowstone National Park reopened. Donald Trump administration pushed for that. Also with the Grand Teton National Park, just 10 miles south of Yellowstone, also reopened. So on May 18th, when they opened, they were supposed to this first phase of reopening. So the park where you camp, campgrounds and stuff like that, that's still closed, but you can still go visit the park. It's just open during the day. You know, a lot of the license plates, we're told, were from out of state, people from Washington and New York and Alaska. According to one guy from Florida, he says, "We've been cooped up for weeks." His name's Jacob Willis. He was interviewed by the Guardian News. He says that they were amongst the crowd of onlookers. They were at Old Faithful looking at the geyser. When the parks reopened, he said, "We jumped at the opportunity to travel," he said. So it's only open during the day. Food, campsite, lodging services, and other visitor centers are closed. So some of those amenities are not available. The only park's entrance opened is in Wyoming. Okay. Yellowstone National Park officials are still in negotiations with authorities in Idaho and Montana over opening those entrances to their parks in their respective states. But there seems to be unlikely for Montana's entrances to open in the near future because they're still observing that 14-day mandatory quarantine for visitors out of state. Oh, goodness. All right, moving along on the quack report. Let's stay on the West Coast. Oregon here, hey Frank, your state, high court keeps coronavirus restrictions in place after a judge tried to overturn them. Judge in Oregon recently ruled that Governor Kate Brown's coronavirus restrictions were null and void on the grounds that they weren't given state legislative approval after 28 days, but the state's high court overturned that. That came on Monday, because there was a lawsuit from churches claiming that social distancing and rules were unconstitutional. You know, if you go to the liquor store, you can go to church kind of thing. Emergency powers, they argued, are only in effect for a month before needing legislative approval. And that was all that the Circuit County Court Judge Matthew Shurtcliffe needed to rule in their favor. But there was an appeal by the Governor Brown people, and they got the Supreme Court to overturn that. So back and forth we go. Do you feel like a yo-yo yet over there, Frank, in Oregon? I would think so. All right, last but not least in the quack report, Florida Health Department manager forced to quit after being told to hide coronavirus data. Yep, a top data manager in Florida's Department of Health resigned after being told she needed to hide vital data about the number of COVID-19 cases in their state, according to internal emails obtained by Tampa Bay Times. Rebecca Jones had objected to the removal of records showing whether people had symptoms of positive tests before the cases were announced. So the emails show that the department staff gave the order after reporters had asked for the data on May 5th. Jones and the department's geographic information systems manager complained about the order, but not before telling her supervisors it was wrong. It's just a wrong call to make, she says, hiding the data. So long story short, they came to her asking her to take some sort of deal, but she refused and she resigned. She goes on to say, as a word of caution, because she was in charge of this platform of data on the COVID-19 that may be affecting Floridians. And then people that had access to it were getting like real numbers, not just the political side of things. So she says, as a word of caution, I would not expect the new team to continue the same level of accessibility and transparency that I made central to this process during the first 2 months of the pandemic. After all, my commitment to both is largely and arguably the reason I'm no longer managing it. I would say so. That's what happens. You know, you tell the truth, look out in this day and age. Got to stand, though. Take a stand. We got to applaud Miss Rebecca for that. Good job. Good job. And that wraps the quack report. Thanks, Frank. Okay. We're going to talk about how you can protect your pets from venomous bites. Real important. We're coming up to the summer months. You know, you're going to be, you know, moving around more because, you know, as the days get brighter, longer, more humid, hotter, no more virus. So things will be opening up for sure. So we're going to protect our pets and ourselves, of course, you know, because pets are naturally curious. You know, if you've had a pet, you know, cats, dogs, doesn't matter. They're curious and they can get themselves into trouble. When they investigate things like little bees, you ever see a puppy dog investigate a bee on a clover in the backyard on the red clovers, and they all of a sudden they get their nose stung kind of thing. So whether they're looking at and they're investigating little bees or even a scorpion or spiders and snakes, you know, it can be serious. So if your pet has ever engaged in, let's say, a venomous biting standoff, you know, the outcome is really not all that great for the pet. So vet bills for venomous bites can be in the thousands of dollars to treat. So anti-venom vaccines are available, but they're expensive. And often pet owners are really not sure what bit their pet, and therefore those types of vaccines cannot be used. So what's the solution? Well, we're going to take a look at some interesting new information on how pets do when they're poisoned with venomous bites. So it's really some insight. I think you'll like it. There was this new study in May 2020, this month, University of Queensland in Australia, where venomous bites frequently occur, and they found that with regard to cats and dogs being bitten by venomous creatures, that they handle the poison differently. Cats and dogs handle it differently. This is kind of a new thing. So according to the research, cats, Frank, you're a cat lover, so listen up. Cats are more likely to survive venomous bites from snakes compared to dogs. That's right. That's right. You talk about nine lives? Well, so, you know, the researchers wanted to know how come that is. How come cats do much better? Here's a quote from Professor Brian Fry, University of Queensland, Australia. He says, snake bite is a common occurrence for pets, cats and dogs across the globe, and it can be fatal. The fatal condition is called venom-induced consumptive coagulopathy. And what this means is the pet loses its ability to clot blood and it bleeds to death. Not fun. He goes on to say, in Australia, the eastern brown snake is responsible for 76% of the reported domestic pet snake bites each year. So their indigenous area has the eastern brown snake. Here on the east coast of America, in our area of North Carolina, we have rattlesnakes and copperheads, where we're at in North Carolina. So look at your area, see what kind of snakes you have that are venomous, and be on the lookout for them. So let's look at the cats, because apparently the cats have some power that nobody knew about before. The statistical data shows the difference between when cats are bitten and when dogs are bitten by poisonous snakes. And here's what they found. Cats are twice as likely to survive at 66%, whereas dogs have a 31% survival rate. So the data is showing that cats have a higher survival rate if given anti-venom serum treatments also. So the researchers tested snake venom from 11 different poisonous snakes, and they looked at the blood plasma of these pets. And what they discovered is that snake venom works much faster in the blood plasma of dogs compared to cats or even in humans. Ooh. So this suggests that dogs will suffer from blood clot failure sooner and are more vulnerable to these types of venomous bites. So this research did get published in the Journal of Comparative Biochemistry and Physiology, Toxicology, and Pharmacology, May 2020. Well, let's look at the pet snake bite for a second. Because, you know, scorpion bites are poisonous. Brown recluse spider bites are poisonous. Wasp and bee stings, they're venomous, but, you know, you're not going to probably die from that unless you're highly allergic. And then, of course, there's the snakes. So let's look at the snake bite. We really should go over how pets react to the venom in snake bites compared to how humans react to it. So in humans, the venom in the blood is a problem rather than the bite site itself. In pets, it seems to be the opposite. So the bite site becomes infected and the blood poisoning can result. And since the clotting factor is altered in especially dogs by the venom, they can bleed out. So a snake bite on a dog's paw, for instance, can cause massive necrosis of the skin layer where the skin dies, it turns black and it falls off, leaving this bloody paw. So vets have no solutions other than to give the dog pain relievers and antibiotics to try to save the paw. Pet owners are told that surgery and skin grafts are going to be required afterward. So they give them some, you know, symptom management tools, and they wait to see how it works. Here is a quote from Professor Fry. He says, "Without venom, the spontaneous clotting time of the dog's blood is dramatically faster than in cats, and this would make dogs more vulnerable regarding snake venoms. This is consistent with clinical data showing more rapid onset of symptoms and lethal effects in dogs than in cats." So let's look at the most common bite. Dogs are not only curious, they're also protective of their owners, okay? So some snakes don't really give any warning like rattlesnakes do. So if, for instance, in tall grass, a dog wanders in there, the dog and the owner may not even know a snake's there until they're both within bite striking distance, right? So dogs will instinctively move in to protect the owner and therefore take the bite themselves. So, most bite wounds for the dogs occur on the nose, the mouth, or on a paw, if they kind of stepped too close to a snake and didn't even know he was there to begin with. So on the other hand, cats, they like to swat at the snake with their paw, so they get their bite there on the paw. Now for dogs, a head bite can be more serious because it often involves tissue with a high volume of blood vessels, and swelling would be significant. I don't know if you've ever been in a vet, and in comes like these really aggressive dog breeds, like boxers, rottweilers and stuff. They like to tangle with snakes, and they usually get bit on their head and their head swells up like a big basketball. Here comes a dog with a big basketball head. It's kind of scary to look at it. It's really frightening and creepy. But some dog breeds, when they get bit, they continue to attack the snake, so they take several bites, and there's the problem. Dogs are usually more active, and this also increases the circulation and spread of the venom around the body. So according to Professor Fry, he says, "I've had friends lose big dogs to snake bites, dying in less than 10 minutes from the Eastern brown snake bite, which are not very large snakes. This highlights how devastatingly fast a lethal snake bite is to dogs." Well, here's some things to consider. If you have a large breed dog, you have a better chance of saving your pet due to the body mass. The venom can travel through the small breeds faster, and the venom can overwhelm their system unless there is some on-site care. Now, most bites don't happen at the vet where you can get immediate care. They usually happen when you are away from your home. And some exceptions would be if your dwelling is near water or a pool of water, which can attract some types of snakes, like here in North Carolina, copperheads like pools of water, whether it's a lake or even a swimming pool. So be aware of that. And if you are within a short drive, let's say less than 10 minutes, to obtain care for your pet, you should know the type of snake that bit your pet if you can. Otherwise, you know, it's better to know what type of snake bit your pet so they have antivenom there at the vet. And, you know, it's an emergency, and the antivenoms do work. If you are not close to care, let's say, or you didn't see the type of snake that bit your pet, well, then I think you better have a backup plan, because all the vets are going to have are antibiotics and pain relievers. Because the bite is painful. It is painful for pets. Well, let me tell you about my experience here, for what it's worth. In 2010, my 90-pound, 6-year-old black lab was bitten by a poisonous snake while on a morning walk with me, and he was on a leash. We walked by an area in our neighborhood not yet developed, and there was this tall grass. So the leash was about 4 feet long. It wasn't an extraordinarily long leash. And as my dog was sniffing the edge of this grass, he jumped straight up in the air. Now, at first I thought he stepped on some glass and it was stuck in his paws as he limped towards me. He was whining and the paw was starting to swell. So I lifted him into the car and I drove to the vet, which is about 10 miles or 10 minutes from me. And upon arrival, they took him immediately and they examined the foot to find the fang puncture wounds on the top of his paw there. It was measured. They measured the distance between the puncture wounds, and it was determined to be an adult snake that bit him. But we didn't know or see what type of snake, what kind it was. Now, obviously, it wasn't a rattlesnake, I had to say, because we didn't hear any rattling. No noise. Therefore, you know, because we didn't know what snake, the antivenom treatment was not possible. They couldn't give him anything. So I wound up taking him home, and I put one of those cones on his head so he wouldn't be licking the paw, and spread out this big sleeping bag for him to lay on. And but his paw was now bleeding as the skin was falling off of it. I mean, it happens fast, you know, like in a day that necrosis hits and starts. It kills all the tissue on the foot, and all the skin, the top layer skin's fall. It's this really bad. So the paw was really very sensitive. I couldn't touch his paw. So what I did is I worked from the inside with some herbs. So what I did is I used herbal anti-inflammatory herbs. I used herbs for pain. I used herbs to stop the bleeding. I used herbs to support his immune system to fight the infection. I used blood cleansing herbs to sweep away the venom out of the blood, and I used tissue building herbs for his paw. So the first 3 days were about, you know, keeping him inactive as possible so he could heal, rest, sleep, and heal. After 5 days, his energy got better. It was returning, and it was less difficult for him to walk on the bitten paw. But within 2 weeks, his paw looked completely normal, and all the tissue and fur grew back. It was like he never got bit. And the vet couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe it. I had to take him there because they kept telling me the grim details of what's going to go on here. If he gets an infection, they're going to have to amputate, or the best case scenario is skin grafting. And I'm like, what? So they couldn't believe it. They just couldn't believe it. They expected to see a paw that was scarred and without fur. That's the good scenario they expected to see. They asked me what I did, and I told them what I did. I offered to teach them and even provide the herbal tools so they could help other pets. But you know what? They declined my offer. They did. And it seems that this type of natural therapy using the herbs will not bring as much income to the clinic compared to amputations and skin grafting. That's how it is. Disturbing, but true. So the message is you have powerful alternatives. They are gifts from God. God says herbs are here for the service of man, the healing of the nations. God can't lie. He says that from Genesis to Revelation. So we should be taking note of that. So as you can see, there are some powerful alternatives, especially when you cannot maybe reach immediate care, okay? Or even if you can't afford it. You know, vets are like expensive, really expensive now. So I decided, what I did is I put those herbal tools I put them in a compact portable snake bite kit. That's what I did. The herbs fit into this 1 pound pack, and you can loop the pack through your belt and you can wear it, or there's a clip on the pack so you can clip it onto another bag if you want. It's easy access, travel access. So if you're camping, you're hiking, or even if you're just walking your pet, you're going to have immediate powerful options there. And I know these options work because my lab recovered, completely recovered. So my black lab lived to be 14. And, you know, we never worried about snake bites after that. Doc taught me a lot. You know, he did. He didn't know he was teaching me a lot, but he did. So this snake bite kit will work really on any venomous bite. And it has a 10-year shelf life. So brown recluse, it works on that. It works on bee stings, wasps. Even you can use it even on poisonous ivy, poison oak, sumac, that kind of stuff. Awesome stuff. And we even use, a lot of times we'll rock that kit out and we'll reverse a vaccine with it. Mm-hmm. So we have lots of access to reversing poisons. And this is one of them right here. So medicinal herbs offer life-saving protection that you can offer your pet. And you'll be amazed what you can do with the right herbal tools and the instructions on how to use it. Now, you can call the folks at Apothecary Herbs to order your human or your pet snake bite kit. And this is a safe and affordable backup plan. Okay? The kit is handy for humans as well as especially for your pets, especially when seconds count. See? You know, and if you want to use it and then go to the vet, you can use it that way too. But you're going to hear the same thing I heard at the vet, and it's going to cost you probably $1,000 just to hear that. Call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. You can order their snake bite kits. Their toll-free number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. Or you can visit online at thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. So you can go under Herbs for Pets and the kit, the snake bite kit's there. Or you can, for the human kit, you can go under just kits and online and look there. It's also listed in their free product catalog, which you can call and request at 866-229-3663. Or you can request it online at thepowerherbs.com because that's where your healthcare options just became endless. Puts the power back in your hands. Also, they just started their Memorial Day sale that runs through the end of May. So you'll save 25% off orders of $30 or more. There's a coupon code. It's listed on the homepage, but you can use it over the phone. It's star and the number 20, and you'll save 25% star 20, but it ends on the 31st of May. So take advantage of that while you can. Stock up and save. Well, I can see by the clock we're going to take a little break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some other things that will empower you. Be right back.
I remember when Mary Lou said you want to walk me home. Well, I said, yes, I do. She said, I don't have to go right home, and I would kind of like to be alone. Some of you would. I said, me too. And so we took a stroll, wound up down by the swimming hole, and she said, do what you want. Silly and found a frog in the water by a hollow log, and I shook it at her and I said, this frog's for you. She said,
pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
As we age,
age, there can be many reasons why we feel tired, have memory issues, gain weight, struggle with stress, or feel depressed. These symptoms can be indicators that the adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys need metabolic strengthening. There are herbs known to improve adrenal gland function, circulation, blood pressure, skin, muscle, and bone strength. Why suffer with weakness when you can use gland-strengthening medicinal herbs? Empower yourself with the organic balance chemistry in the adrenal gland formula. You will remove the risk of megadoses and offer specific nutrition the body needs. Call Apothecary Herbs now for their adrenal gland formula, 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. That's Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. Henry Ford, the automobile. And herbalist Wendy Wilson? Well, discover for yourself. Listen to Herb Talk Live.
As men get older, they are subject to hormone imbalance. And when this happens, men can experience osteoporosis, memory loss, irritability, blood sugar imbalance, weight gain, enlarged prostate, erectile dysfunction, and risk of stroke. The human endocrine system manufactures hormones. Why not feed your system plant nutrition to make the hormones that are right for you? For centuries, these herbs have been used to balance the male hormone system. Men, you've waited long enough for the male hormone formula. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663 for the male hormone formula, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com, 866-229-3663, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Our prescription for good health? Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson. No insurance card required.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
Talking about, oddly enough, people that have fevers frequently but don't know why, neither does the doctor. What could that be? What could that mean, frequent fevers? Low grade, you know it's there. Because I came across a case where there was a lady that had frequent fevers, and after she got to see her doctor, she got some medical attention, they did some tests. And they didn't know what was wrong with her. And they said, we just don't know. So there seems to be not a high level of concern when medicine encounters someone regarding unknown reasons for fevers that they suspect's not from an infection. So women are most likely going to be told, hey, it could be due to menopause. Just see if it goes away. Well, what other reasons could there be for unknown fever to develop, which may come and go? And that's one of the symptoms. It doesn't always stay there steady. It comes and it goes. Well, a lot of times the body likes to give us signals if we're paying attention. So more physicians are beginning to understand the importance of listening to the body and the signals it's given us, no matter how insignificant they could be. They need to be taken seriously before, a serious diagnosis pops up. So, real important to know what it is that you have and see. Frank says, I guess they had an infection or some other thing the body is trying to kill. Well, that's typically true, Frank, of the fever mechanism. You know, your antibodies are launched when you have a fever, but let's see what we have dug up here. So they're beginning to understand, you know, the body has these mechanisms, and you better take them seriously. We often dismiss a lot of symptoms as a nuisance, especially if they don't have any heavy impact, you know, doesn't really mess too much with our daily function. We kind of put up with it and go on. We should really notice everything, no matter how small or different it is. So in 1907, there was a Boston doctor, Massachusetts Boston doctor, Richard Cabot, Dr. Cabot. He worked at Boston's General Hospital, and he wrote about a few cases of fevers of unknown origins. And in his report, which was titled The Three Long-Continued Fevers of New England, and in 1952, there was this Dr. Paul Beeson at Yale University. He also published a series of writings on unexplained fevers. And he wrote that what appeared to be healthy people who exhibited temperatures that were slightly exceeded normal range, they had trouble finding the cause, in which, you know, he referred to the case as habitual hyperthermia. Well, physicians in the 1950s had a long list of possible causes for this type of fever, and some of which were, you know, infectious diseases like tuberculosis. However, most often, an obscure diagnosis is what we're looking at. Some cases produced evidence of kidney or pancreatic infections or even sepsis. However, this was the cause that didn't seem to point to anything that seemed to bother the doctors much. So where didn't they look? Well, while the doctors were looking for infectious diseases, they didn't suspect that the cause to be fungus, which has recently been identified as a cause of cancer, some types of cancer. So lymphoma can easily occur, as well as other forms of cancer such as Hodgkin's disease or lupus. If the clinical fever is from fungus, it usually eventually carries with it the following symptoms: a weight loss, inflamed liver, enlarged lymph nodes, pancreatitis, elevated liver enzymes, anemia, night sweats, shaking chills, bradycardia, which is low heart rate, and aches in joints. So we're also told that HIV patients, HIV is quite possibly really a fungus, and it would fit the description for a type of cancer. So what doctors have since detected is that half of the patients with unknown fevers turn out to be due to infectious diseases, and the other half are due to underlying malignancy of some kind of cancer. So if the fever is due to infection, the gram-negative bacteria blood test can usually pick this up. If gram-negative fungi test is used, it may spot a malignancy. So if the fungus is present, doctors usually will order CT scans and biopsies of tissue of the organs and or bone. So here's a quote from Dr. Joseph Mercola, who says, frequent fevers or infections can be signs of leukemia, a cancer of the blood cells that starts in the bone marrow. Leukemia causes the marrow to produce abnormal white blood cells, sapping the body's infectious fighting capabilities, end of quote. Well, let's look at this fungus just a little bit more closely. If we take a look at this fungus or fungi, we find it has other names such as mildew. And mildew has long been referred to as a mold or a blight of some kind. Blight, we often think of as disease or a pest. that affects, you know, plants or crops, but it can also affect any living thing and cause it to wither and die. So the blight of this disease that causes decay is what we're looking at. Therefore, mildew is pestilence. Now, in 2012, the notion that cancer was caused by fungus was published by Dr. Mark Sikus, and he was an acupuncturist. However, the physicians of the 1950s had already suspected that fungus may be the cause of many cancers, but no research was taken seriously on it. However, the Israelites of the Exodus knew what the ancient plagues were, and mildew was one of them. Israel was told of the blessings of obedience and the curses of disobedience that they would receive, and it's written in Deuteronomy 28. There is the list of the plagues. Deuteronomy 28, verses 21 and 22, it says, "The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he has consumed thee from off the land, whether you go to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with consumption and with fever and with inflammation and with extreme burning and with the sword and with the blasting and with mildew to pursue thee until you perish." Also in verses 59 and 61, it said, "Then the Lord will make thy plagues and the plagues of thy seed great plagues and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon you the diseases of Egypt, which you are afraid of, and they will cleave unto you. Also, every sickness and every plague, which is not written in this book of this law." So even today, we can see plagues that were not written of in the ancient world, and we're having, like, you know, COVID-19, Ebola, SARS, MERS, all these things. They weren't written of in the ancient text. So we live in a time where we have new plagues, about 5 per year. And are they being discovered or are they being created is the question. That's something we need to discern. So those things I mentioned are the plagues not written of in the Bible, and it would affect the descendants or anyone disobedient to God's ways. So we also know that people suffering from cancer usually have long battles with it, long continuance. Notice that? Long continuance. So let's look at the cancer rate. According to the Cancer Institute and World Cancer Research Fund International in 2015, the top 10 countries with the highest cancer or mildew fungus rates are Denmark, France, Australia, Belgium, Norway, the United States, Ireland, Republic of Korea, Netherlands, and New Caledonia, which is close to Australia. So, you know, when you hear these reports of fever of unknown origin, we have to wonder, don't we? I would really caution anyone with a fever that's clinically described as unknown origin, which is just a few degrees above 98.6, that it may be also intermittent. You want to be able to take those symptoms quite seriously and not just shrug that off. We also know that the immune system is our natural guard against disease, including cancer. Okay, so if you got a weak immune system, it can give disease like cancer a foothold. And we also know by virologists who have reported that your immune system, your antibody launching of the immune system is fever specific. So usually you have to be at 101 points, you know, over 101 to have the antibodies working. Now, I would suspect that when the immune system encounters a few isolated cancer cells that it turns on a fever mechanism, it normally takes a billion cancer cells in one spot to show up on a study, an x-ray, a CT, an MRI, the size of a pencil tip. So you have to have a billion of those cells there. So you may have 100,000 here and 100,000 there, but the immune system identifies it, and that could be enough to kick on an intermittent fever. So in ancient times, anyone with a plague was considered unclean, and they were isolated. Not like, you know, the healthy people shelter in place. It was the people with the plague had to shelter in place. And they were supposed to isolate themselves at their home. And then if they died, they tore down the home and they burned it. So it was their way of cleansing the area. So today we can cleanse our body from inside out and try to avoid a lot of these diseases, including things like fungus. People are just not, they're just not diligent on cleansing and nourishing the body that they were given. So it's real important that we do that. So when we talk about cleanses, we refer to those organ cleanses to remove those impurities that can heavily tax your organ function, including your immune system. So the lack of good nutrition also factors in. So having a good, healthy lifestyle and cleansing, supporting the immune system function, that can go a long way at you not getting internal medicine diseases. Long way. So when we simply cleanse and nourish our bodies, we can influence health and lower the risk of disease. Now, if fungus is a concern, you can also do an entire organ system cleanse, and you want to do one section at a time, not all at once. So you would start at the bowel and work all the way up to the blood system, and you would sweep away those impurities that can give you a problem. So if there's a way to do your cleansing safely and effectively, and if you want to learn how to do that, the folks at Apothecary Herbs, that's what they specialize in, organ cleansing, immune boosting, metabolic strengthening is what they excel in. So they've got cleanses. You can get their catalog. They list the cleanses in order and how you should do them, and they're safe and effective. You can even carry out your normal routine. You don't have to, like, you know, stay at home to do it. You can, you know, I wouldn't recommend cleansing on a vacation because you're too distracted. You won't remember to do the cleansing steps. So do it at a time when you can focus on it without disrupting your normal pattern. You can still cleanse when you, let's say, go to work and cleanse the natural and safe way, and that's what it's all about. So it's a gentle, effective way to remove heavy metals, radioactive particles, heavy metals. Frank, did you know I got a call today from a pharmacist, a New York pharmacist, who wanted to know how they could get rid of heavy metals? They wanted to know how to do that. And there is a way. You use herbs that dry out those types of impurities that tend to lodge in our tissues, especially in the colon, and get rid of it. Why are you hanging on to that? You don't need that stuff. So heavy metals, if you accumulate heavy metals, they do migrate to the bowel. Okay, so it's the body's attempt to get rid of that. And they don't always exit. So they can accumulate, and then they can cause problems. They can cause things like depression, even dementia symptoms. So I've seen that too. So if you're worried about, you know, the fungus as a cancer, research done at Windsor Medical University in Quebec, they say dandelion root kills all known cancer cells. Dandelion root. If you pair the dandelion with astragalus root, you get even more power. So if you're looking for some herbal answers to everyday problems, natural solutions to your everyday problems, then I would definitely give the folks at Apothecary Herbs a call and get in their catalog. They list everything, the ingredients, counter-regulatory information. You can see what it is they have, and then ask them some questions. Here is some feedback from Dr. Michael Munhill at Blytheville, Arkansas. He's in Arkansas. He says, as an alternative physician, I have access to and constantly compare herbal tinctures from all over the world. Your products are high quality, and please don't ever change the quality. I choose Apothecary Herbs for their quality and uniqueness of their formulations. End of quote. So thank you, Dr. Munhall, for your feedback on that. It's important, and it encourages people, you know, to step out and try something they may have hesitated not to before. So thepowerherbs.com, give them a call, 866-229-3663, and get their catalog and save with their holiday sale, their Memorial Day sale. You'll save 25%. All right, we got a few minutes, so we're going to be touching on a few things here before we have to close out the hour. Basically, a lot of people, you know, ask me all the time, you know, what is the reason people get so sick? And I think for internal medicine disorders, this is my personal opinion, I think it's a lack of minerals, lack of nutrients. Vitamins go along with it, but it's mostly minerals. Because if you take all the fluids out of our body, we're just a pile of minerals. And you have to replenish that. And if you're not getting it in conventionally grown produce, and our animals aren't getting it, and we're eating the animals, so we're going to have, and they've already decided we have 50% less nutrition than in from 1900 to 1950. So somewhere after World War II, we changed a lot of stuff agriculturally wise, and we went downhill, you know, health wise as well. All right. So we're going to talk about sulfur. Sulfur. Frank, you're probably very familiar with sulfur. It's in one of your favorite herbs. And you got plenty of sulfur. It's a natural nutrient. It helps the body heal quickly. Sulfur does. I love sulfur in certain herbs. And we're going to talk about that. So it tends to be a mystery nutrient to science, but it has some very basic elements to it. And it's also found in our body naturally. It's 1% of our body mass will have sulfur in it naturally. So how can a nutrient that is so small, 1% of our body mass, how can that signature element help you heal faster? You know? So if it's only 1% of your body mass, you know, how can it do that? Well, this is really basic health information that most of us have forgotten. If oxygen and carbon and hydrogen and nitrogen and calcium and phosphorus are the six all-star elements making up 99% of our body mass, what health benefits could we possibly get from that 1% sulfur? Well, we're going to check it out. The mystery nutrient of sulfur, one of the reasons it's so valuable to your body is it helps you heal faster and it moves the toxins out of your body quickly. Sulfur binds to antioxidants such as glutathione to make the antioxidant more effective. So back in 1992 in the Annals of Pharmacology Therapy, they reported that sulfur helps protect us from radiation and ultraviolet rays, X-rays, and amphetamines. So I would think that it would also protect you from various forms of radiation, including your tanning beds, maybe EMF signatures, you know, things like that, 5G hopefully. So another benefit is with regard to heavy metals, your organic sulfur has some protection against you having heavy metals like aluminum. So it binds to aluminum, removes it from your system. And scientific research has also correlated between aluminum and the rising conditions of Alzheimer's disease and cognitive issues with children and young adults like ADHD, that kind of thing. And when it comes to cardio, you also need sulfur. This is a report from EU's Acute Cell Disorders Journal, January 2016, they stated that sulfur has an important part to play in protecting you from heart disease. Dr. Stephanie Seneff of MIT said that having a shortage of sulfur in the body produces a molecule called cholesterol sulfate. Without sulfur, this molecule in your blood fluctuates, and it creates a lot of instability and it invites heart disease. So, yes, Frank is saying garlic gets sulfur, woo-woo, garlic. Yes, garlic has natural sulfur, definitely great herb. Also, you have to have a sulfur to get rid of skin conditions. You probably seen TV ads. They plaster all these drug commercials all over the place for inflammatory skin conditions like dermatitis, acne, rosacea. None of those drugs address the cause, which seems to be pointing to the mineral imbalance of sulfur. Also, weight gain and sulfur. In 2011, Western Price Foundation considered the possibility that the lack of adequate sulfur could be pushing up the obesity rates in the United States. They were reported that Greece, Italy, Japan, they don't have the heart disease and obesity problems, that the United States has, plus their population seem to be living longer. So an interesting correlation was that the West Coast of the United States and that of Hawaii and Oregon have more volcanic activity and more natural sulfur. They also have the lowest rates of obesity in the entire United States. So the highest rates of obesity in the United States were the regions with the lowest sulfur. That would be the Midwest, where agriculture is prime business there. They have low sulfur in, and they overwork the soil there. Highly processed foods are essentially sulfur deficient. And so that's something to remember as well. So we have plenty of food sources that have a sulfur, organic sulfur in them. Let's get down the list. Cabbage, broccoli, leafy green vegetables, collard greens, kale, grass-fed meats, nuts, salmon, wheat germ, and eggs. These foods contain sulfur that the body is going to use to heal and to get rid of toxins quickly. Okay, so if you want to, you know, do some research, maybe grow these foods yourself, you can actually get more sulfur if they're not highly processed and they're not conventionally grown, but organically grown. You'll have more enzymes in them. And research at MIT is studying the significance of sulfur. They also warn against using water softening systems because higher incidence of heart disease because that drinking water doesn't have any sulfur in it anymore. Some of your high sulfur foods, reporting foods like garlic, onions, superior organic sulfur compounds according to Science Direct Journal in 2011. They protect you from infections and internal medicine diseases like cancer. The Saudi pharmaceutical journal stated that in the Middle East and Asian population, the Mediterranean countries, these foods are natural antibiotic foods and they're staple. That's why those populations have less of those problems. Now, if you're deficient in sulfur, you're going to have inflammatory type diseases. You're going to have more pain. You're going to have more wrinkles. You're going to have more problems with your muscles and your bones. If you don't have adequate sulfur, you're going to have metabolic imbalances that can cause insulin insufficiency, hormone issues. If you don't have sulfur in your body, you can't metabolize carbohydrates properly and get rid of that extra sugar they convert to, and you won't be able to have enough fuel for your muscle cells. Especially you guys out there, pay attention because you don't want weak muscles. So sulfur is the third most important mineral to the human body. Always remember that. So you're going to find sulfur in all living tissues. You're going to find it in plants. And you're also going to find it in animals. So it's a necessary life force mineral. You have to replenish the sulfur. Your body doesn't manufacture it. And Frank is saying, ooh, eggs, garlic, yum, yum. Yes, the Greeks, you know, always, you know, have garlic. So, yeah, they're going to be cancer-free for sure. So I hope you gave you a few tips there, how to be well, work it into your wellness plan, your lifestyle plan, be consistent with it. And you can really sidestep a lot of internal medicine disorders just by tweaking that lifestyle and making sure you've got those minerals going. And of course, garlic is going to have a lot of that sulfur, so get some of that. I'm out of time, but don't forget the folks at Apothecary Herbs have their Memorial Day sale. Save 25% on orders of $30 or more with their coupon code STAR20. Their number is 866-229-3663 or visit them online, thepowerherbs.com. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician if you dare before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.